Hello and welcome to the Trev and Ben podcast. Oh, hello, Ben.
Hello.
Those are the noises of excitement, the noises of celebration.
Now, what on earth, some people may say, do we have to celebrate, Trev?
Well, this is episode 200 of the Trev and Ben podcast. We've made it to the big 200. And I don't know about you, Ben, but I think that's worth celebrating.
I think so too. I mean, we've learned nothing, I feel, in 200 episodes. For, you know, a little bit of behind the scenes goss for those who want to know. Yesterday, we were supposed to be recording this, but we were riddled with technical problems. So we've learned nothing.
Yeah, yesterday we had a nightmare and we just abandoned it in the end. And but let's not talk about that because it's a celebration. And that might bring the mood down. This is 4 years of our lives so far, this project, the Trev and Ben podcast. Do you remember when we started, Ben, 4 years ago in humble beginnings in your bedroom?
I know. We used to actually meet up in person a lot more for these, didn't we?
Well, we did up until COVID came. And then obviously we had to find another way of doing it. And we discovered a way of doing it so that I could stay in my house and you could be in your house. And it seemed, although it's, you know, it is a shame, Ben, that I don't get to see your lovely smiling face looking at me as I record. But in some ways, that was rather off-putting.
Well, that's the last time I make you a nice cup of tea. So, I mean, think of the money you've saved in petrol over the years from not having to drive from Croydon to East Grinstead.
And of course, now with you, Les, I wouldn't be able to do it at all. Right? It wouldn't be financially viable, considering in 4 years we've not earned a penny from this bullshit that we've put out.
Yeah, it's been a real success story, isn't it? It's something with the Joe Rogan experience, I think, isn't it?
Well, we're available on the same platforms.
There you go.
Because is he Spotify? Because we are available on Spotify. Over the years, I've made sure that we're available on as many platforms as possible to boost the listenership to I think we've gone from humble beginnings to nowhere near success in 4 quick years. It's been an incredible rise to double figures.
See, I think you're a bit overly proud of what you've done by putting us on every podcasting platform you could find.
Yeah.
Because then, by doing that, you've robbed us of the chance to only have one podcast feed on one specific thing, like Spotify.
Yeah.
And then we could say, hey, it's exclusive to Spotify. And that makes it sound like we're a lot more successful than we really are.
Yeah, but I think had we done that, we wouldn't have any listeners. I feel by putting ourselves, you know, it's like a scattergun approach. If you throw some shit at walls, some will stick.
That really has been our mentality for our careers over the last few years, hasn't it? I mean, that was the mentality when we went to the radio with. We did it at hospital radio. We did it on community radio. If we talk enough bollocks, some poor bastards listening might straggle along with us. And it's working very, very slowly, but it is working.
But having said that, I think we are very thankful, very thankful to our very loyal band of followers who have stayed with us through different, you know, people have found us along the way and have stuck with us, you know, and that's a nice thing, isn't it? We've got people who found us when we were doing community radio, then we were doing the sort of proper radio job, and then people have found us all the way along and they've stuck with us. And we're very grateful to each and every one of you for sticking with us and supporting us with this nonsense.
It truly is lovely. I think we don't stop and say thank you to our lovely listeners enough. We really do appreciate your ongoing support. You are lovely, lovely people.
Yes. I mean, when we started this, we didn't know how this would go, whether we'd have any listeners at all. Do you remember the first ever episode we did? I don't want to bring this down, but we'd not long been booted off the radio.
Came to their senses.
You know, they sat us down in office and went, we're sorry, boys, but we've got to let you go. And was like, oh, fuck. So we both sort of wandered off, had a couple of pints and said, well, we'll start our own podcast. We won't do it straight away. We need the dust to settle. We need to, lick our wounds
And yeah, then, we'll try and build up some of that fan clamour. You know, where are they? Are they ever coming back?
Yeah, some of that where hype. Are they? What's happened?
When that didn't work, we just thought, should we do it now?
Yeah, when nobody got in touch to say, well, why are you on the radio anymore? Because you don't get a chance to say goodbye when you're on the radio. It's very brutal. It's just like, you've just done your last show, lads. Okay, thanks a lot. Bye-bye.
So there's no chance. Can I tell you something that I'm still extremely bitter about? And don't worry, I'm not going to go hauling up anyone's names and, you know, grudges or anything like that. But on the week we were unceremoniously booted from the airwaves, it was the one week you had done it to me a few times, but I had never, ever achieved a perfect score in our daily quiz, where a perfect score is when you get every question right for the entire week. The early pub quiz. And I was on it. For the first time in my life, I was on to a full house.
Yeah.
Coming up to the end of the week.
Yeah.
See you again, folks, because they don't sack you.
One more
day to go. They don't sack you until you put the mic down. They're not stupid in case you say something terrible. So we left our listeners on this big cliffhanger. Ben might finally do it. And the bastards sacked me. Technically, that is a perfect week, isn't it?
Well, no, it's not. It's an imperfect week it was perfect up to the point we got fired, and then, but it wasn't a full house. I mean, I think, you know, you can't claim that as a full house. I mean,
That's outrageous.
I think I got three full houses in all, but nothing was as sweet as that very first one on that Friday when that final question, and it was a really difficult question. It was something about who was Alfred Hitchcock's wife or something like that.
That was unfair of me to ask you that.
It was the difficult question, and I didn't have a clue, and it was thanks to our listeners who got involved and sent the answer. And when you said, I can't remember the answer, I think it was Margaret something or the other, and when you said, that is correct, I just remember all hell breaking loose. I was so excited. I couldn't believe it. So that, you know, I'm sorry that you never experienced that joy, Ben, because it was quite a moment. It was incredible.
I mean, I think I'm more upset about that than the being sacked in general. But I think for you, that little detail is almost like the silver lining to getting sacked, that at least we found an entertaining way of robbing Ben a chance to achieve something in life for once.
Yeah, I mean, you could say I'd arranged it just to make sure. There's no way he's getting a full house. What can I do to get sacked? And what you didn't know is when you went to the loo, I opened the microphone and went, you fucking bunch of arseholes.
I wondered if you were in on it, because I thought I noticed a little knowing nod between you and the programme controller as he led us to the gallows.
Yeah. Oh, I mean, you don't know the money they gave me in the end.
Blood money.
We'd left the radio, and we'd left it 2 or 3 months, and then we thought, right, we need to kick this off. And that very first episode, we didn't really know what we were doing, but we got Andy Drury on. Do you remember our old mate that we got to know him through the radio? He was a builder who became an adventure tourist, and we said, would you come on our very first episode? He very kindly said yes, and we got him on. We didn't have a clue really what we were doing, but he sort of helped us kickstart the whole thing. He's been on a couple of times ever since. I'm always very grateful for the time he's given us over the years, but he was a big part of the start of it.
He was, and what an absolute gent he was. Yeah, it was a real pleasure talking to him. And there was one point, I think he was trying to sort of, I don't know, recruit us to go on a journey with him, and he wanted us to go and see Somalian pirates or something. And we had to basically, so I think we did this behind the scenes. We had to basically say, no, mate. I mean, good luck, but we're a pair of gutless wonders. So you crack on with the Somali pirates, and we'll interview about it when you come back.
Yeah, and I think the first time we spoke to him, he was in Iraq, I think. And then we spoke to him a couple of episodes later when he was home. And then we did speak to him a while back when he was in the news again. And we've sort of had him on a few times. It's always been good fun, but he was very much a big part of the beginnings of this journey and those early podcasts, because we didn't really know what the fuck we were doing. And some people may say we still don't, but those first few episodes we wanted to have guests on. We kind of thought that's the way to do a podcast, you got to get. But the thing is, we don't know any famous people really, and secondly, we were nobodies, so we couldn't get anybody on. So yeah. I tried to get a couple of names on, and the response I got was no. Because basically we weren't James Acaster and Ed Gamble, or we weren't Richard Herring. So it was like, we basically got people we knew on early on. It was a bit of a comfort blanket, I think, a bit of a safety net. If we had somebody on, we sort of could work something out. And I think one week I couldn't get anybody on. And then we sort of thought, oh, actually, we can do this, just the two of us.
Yeah, it took us a long time to work that out, but it was necessary for us to figure out how we did it on our own, because by about the, I don't know, episode 12, something like that, I think we'd probably gone through every contact in both of our phone books to try and get guests on.
Yeah, basically we'd exhausted all the people we know that were willing to come onto the podcast. So here we are, 200 episodes down, Ben. And what I thought we'd do today is we've got lots of things that are celebratory. Some people have sent us some messages that we're playing. I've got a little quiz for you. Maybe this quiz I've got for you could be a substitute for you not getting your full house on the radio. Maybe if you get a full house in the quiz I'm setting you today, maybe we can say that counts as your full house in the early pub quiz. We can write that wrong today, Ben.
I love that. That is such a nice carrot to dangle in front of me. I'm going for it.
I mean, there's no way you're going to get a full house in this quiz, by the way. But
what?
Because it's fucking difficult. But if you do...
I'm grateful you said that instead of "you're fucking stupid." So that was nice.
We're also going to dig into the archives a little bit. And then, of course, we've got the big finale of our murder mystery. So it's going to be a big celebratory edition of the podcast.
I mean, can we use the word bonanza?
Bonanza? That could be a word you could use.
The Trev and Ben Bonanza?
Well, I mean, it could be a jumbo edition.
What
like
about Trev and Ben's Jumbo Bonanza?
That's really over-egging the pudding, isn't it? Too many adjectives going on there. Let's just say it's a bonanza edition. A bumper,
Trev and Ben's,
a bumper jumbo bonanza edition is what it is.
Jumper, bumper, bonanza, extravaganza. I'm running out.
Try and say it quickly. A jumbo bumper. Extravaganza, celebratory.
Can we throw the word spectacular in there as well?
Spectacular. I saw the other day video of somebody at some fairground where somebody was fired out of a cannon. Now, I didn't know that was still a thing that people did. And I thought, wouldn't it have been something to have fired you out of a cannon for the 200th edition? I don't know how we would have arranged that.
Knowing our luck, there'd be some sort of disaster and that'd be the end of me. But, you know, might get more eyes on the podcast. So I'm up for it.
Yeah. Well, okay. So if I can, you're up for it. So if I can find someone willing to fire you out of a cannon, you'd do it.
Maybe for the 400th episode.
Oh, by the way, while we're talking about setting things up for the future, I did remember only earlier today, had we recorded this yesterday, this wouldn't have come up. But I remembered this earlier today, Ben.
Oh, yeah.
I don't mean to put you on the spot, but I suddenly remembered that about a year ago, on the 150th edition of the podcast, I set you a challenge.
I was hoping you would have forgotten about this.
No, well, it came to mind today. I suddenly remember I set you a challenge that by the 200th edition of the podcast, you had to have quit vaping. How's that going? Man, it's abject failure, isn't it?
It's not going
failure.
Well.
Yeah, not going well.
But I'm still in this sort of self-patting on the back, self-referential achievement that I've quit actually smoking. So I'm still under the...
How long is this lasting? How long is this self-back-patting going?
It's been going on a couple of years now.
Yeah, you should be beyond that phase now.
All right. Okay, I endeavour to let you... I will... yes, I have failed. That's the first sour note of our 200 extravaganza bonanza... spectacular jumper bumper episode, but I will endeavour to better myself. How about that? Is that a good enough promise?
All right. What should we say by episode 250?
All right, that's a deal. That's a year.
Now, as I mentioned, Ben, we've been sent some messages to celebrate the big 200. The first message I thought we'd play was from someone who's been on the podcast with us a couple of times. He was very early on the podcast. Might have been even episode 2. He's our resident physicist and science pod, Gareth.
Oh, great. It's a long time since we've heard from our resident physicist.
Oh, hi, guys. It's Gareth Sturdy, the science guy here. I just thought I'd come on and, say congratulations for your 200th show. Oh, actually, no, look, what the hell am I saying? I just need to be honest, right? Never in my life have I ever worked with two thicker, more Neanderthal, empty-headed half-wits in my life. I mean, the whole experience was probably just, like, the worst day of my whole career. What can I say? The way you treated me, the way you talked to me, talked over me. You know, I tried to educate you guys. I tried to educate you and give you some kind of proper content on your show. No, you weren't interested in that. So, yeah, I'm happy to just record a message going, yeah, it was really good. Really enjoyed coming on the show. But the reality, you know, I never want to work with you guys again. Just appalling. The worst day of my life, if not my career. Yeah, but, you know, have a great time, guys, and thanks for everything.
Well, I mean, it's not a glowing recommendation.
I mean, there was words of positivity in there.
Yeah, he said thanks for everything. Yeah.
So, all right.
All right, well...
So thank you, Gareth.
Thanks, Gareth. Now, another person who's been very supportive over the years is your dad.
Yes, I've always considered him my biggest fan, really. He's always been there, very supportive.
Your biggest fan. I mean, am I not part of the fandom there?
Or maybe I misspoke. Our biggest fan.
Our biggest fan.
Hi, Ben and Trevor. So you two useless layabouts have managed to make 200 podcasts full of nonsense and terrible bad language. This isn't a cause for celebration. More like a clear example of how much broadcasting standards have slipped. It's obvious that there is zero preparation for your shows. You are less like Only Fools and Horses and more like Laurel and Hardy. You should do some proper research before subjecting your handful of listeners to this dreadful rubbish. Ben, when are you going to get a proper job instead of annoying the good people of East Grinstead by cluttering up the streets with a trolley full of unwanted advertising leaflets? And what about your garden? It's in such a bad state that even the garden SOS team wouldn't touch it. I bet you two useless so-called podcasters won't have the guts to read this out on air.
Well, we played it. I think I take being called Lauren Hardy a great compliment.
Oh, well, I know you're a big fan, so I think what a lovely thing to say. I'd be thrilled with that.
I mean, I don't want to criticise Big Jeff, but I noticed your name was put first on, and I know he's your father, but let's... It's the Trev and Ben podcast. Always has been, always will be.
Yes, I know. Not with Ben and Trevor. But, you know, I've come to accept that over the years. Anyway, thank you for your lovely words, Dad. moving on.
Right, Ben, I did mention that I had a quiz ready for you, and now there's some proper jeopardy involved with this quiz, because this could mean that you get your full house that was robbed of you when we were kicked off the radio.
Yeah.
We're going to do this quiz in two halves, 8 questions, that's all there are, but they are all to do with the number 200.
Oh, I'm suddenly getting alarmed that I should have done some research on Roman numerals for the 200, because I suspect that's coming up. And would it be cheating to look that up now?
Yes, it would be cheating.
But the quiz hasn't started yet.
It started now. And question number one, what is 200 in Roman numerals?
It isn't really.
It is. That is question number one. That is genuinely question number one. I thought
You are kidding.
No, that is genuinely question number one. I thought I'd start easy on you. What is 200 in Roman numerals? I mean, I was going to ask you what 200 was in Morse code. But I thought if I start with an easier question, you know, you're bound to know what the Roman numerals of 200. I thought you could get off to a good start on the quiz, because the rest you got no hope on. But I thought with number one, start easy. What is 200 in Roman numerals?
I'm going to have a guess.
I'm looking it up. Are you?
No, I'm not looking it up. I promise. I wouldn't. You know me better than that. I wouldn't cheat. I even take this ludicrous nonsense quite seriously. I'm guessing that C in Roman numerals stands for century. So century would be 200. So CC?
Well, CC is the right answer, Ben.
Look at that.
So the full house is still on.
Oh, well, I mean, I'm glad, because if question one was wrong off the bat, there'd be no jeopardy left, would there? That would have really pissed on our chips.
Question number two, Ben. In 1927...
Good God. That's when your references start, is it?
No need for that. No need for that kind of rudeness at all. I'm going to have a word with your dad about this. In 1927, Henry Seagrave became the first person to do what?
Well, I've never heard of him. And this, hang on, can I just ask, not for a clue, but clarification.
Yeah.
This is around the number 200.
It involves a number 200 somewhere, yeah.
Oh, dear. Well, I think this is where we go wrong, then, because I can't think... Well, he clearly didn't live to 200 years old, because I don't think anyone's done that.
Well, I think you'll find biblical characters did. Wasn't Moses about 974 or something ridiculous?
Was that Moses or was it Methuselah?
Was it Methuselah? Didn't he live to... Yeah, even perhaps it was Methuselah. He lived to, like... No, he was in the 900s.
Why couldn't you have asked me questions about the Bible? I'd be smashing it out of the park.
Well, because I don't know what there's 200 of in the Bible. I mean, had he fed people with 200
loaves of fishes,
bread?
Yeah.
But it wasn't it. That's five. So that... That didn't work. I bet there is some biblical reference to 200, and I bet it'll be the sort of thing that some crazy preacher man would say, 200 means the end of the world. I read it in the Bible, and it said 200. If 200 appears on a podcast, it means the apocalypse is nigh.
Well, it does feel like that at times. So, can I ask for a slight hint, because it's such an out there question. Is this someone who's done something 200 times?
No, not done something 200 times. I can't really give you a clue without giving it away.
It's such an out there question, though, of someone I've never heard.
Well, look, there's not many questions that I can find when 200 is involved. So that's what I mean. These are tough old questions.
Okay, he was the first man to sail solo across the Atlantic. Insert the number 200 in there somewhere.
I mean, you could have said, what, in 200 days?
Yeah, I'll say that. Like that.
Right, so he's the first person to sail the Atlantic in 200 days. Is that your answer?
Yeah.
We'll never believe this. That's absolute nonsense. Henry Seagrave in 1927 became the first person to drive a car over a kilometre course at an average speed greater than 200 miles an hour.
And that's a piece of trivia everyone's got up their sleeve, I assume. I'm the idiot. Yeah.
Yeah,
that's an impossible question.
Come on, mate. Pull your finger out. Get that garden done and do your research.
All right, so there's the perfect score gone. So,
I'm wondering how in 1927 you could get a car to go at greater than 200 miles an hour.
Push it off a cliff?
I was going to say, I mean, what, the average car in that sort of era, what, 30 miles an hour? 40 miles an hour at the most? It must have had some sort of rocket attached to it, surely.
That's Richard Hammond you're thinking of.
No, I mean, poor Richard Hammond didn't... I don't think he got to that sort of speed before he crashed the bloody thing. Okay, question number three. According to Belfast Zoo, there are...
This is so unfair.
According to Belfast Zoo, and I put this in because obviously your Northern Irish heritage. Okay,
I was born in Belfast, yeah.
So this should be knowledge that you should know. According to Belfast Zoo, there are only 200 watt living in zoos around the world.
this is ludicrous. You set me up for failure on this, and then you had the gall to say we could consider it your perfect score if you can pull off the impossible here.
So I mean, think back to your childhood, your Northern Irish roots. I'm sure this must have been mentioned. It was probably conversation around the dinner table when you were a kid. You know, oh, do you remember them at Belfast Zoo saying that there are only 200 of these animals in zoos around the world?
Honestly, mate, not a day went by we we didn't strike up a conversation about Belfast Zoo. So no snakes in Ireland, St. Patrick.
But just remember that this is living in zoos around the world.
There was going to be a bit of logic to it, which was going to be that St. Patrick rid Ireland of snakes. I don't know if that applies to Northern Ireland as well.
I think I think he did the whole thing. He wasn't, you know, he didn't want to get involved in the political aspect of the Trump.
Yeah, get careful with this one, Trevor. It's quite a touchy subject.
He just got rid of snakes wherever it was. It was
fair enough.
Yeah.
So
Protestant and Catholic snakes, he got rid of them all.
It would be strange to boast about snakes, considering there are famously none in Ireland. So
yeah.
I'm going to go with what is famously a difficult animal to breed and is rare.
Yeah.
So I'm going to say there are 200 pandas across zoos worldwide.
I mean, that seems a lot, actually, doesn't it? I'm not sure there'd be that many pandas.
200 worldwide seems a lot to you.
Yeah, in zoos, I'm not sure there's that many in zoos because they don't breed that successfully in zoos, do they?
It's clearly the wrong answer then, isn't it?
Well, yeah, no, it's not pandas. It's definitely not pandas. I think you have one more shot at this.
Tigers.
Tigers. No. No, you're not going to get it, are you? The answer is giant anteaters. Yeah.
You will not believe me. I was going to jokingly say, is it a fucking anteater or something?
No way. Well, it's
a
giant.
No one's
going to
believe that now, are they? Damn.
And I don't think I would have given it to you if you just said an anteater, because I'd need what's written on the card. Giant anteater.
You are quite the bastard taskmaster, aren't you?
Question number four. This is the final question of the first part of the quiz, Ben. In the year 200 AD, Clement of Alexandria denounced what?
200 AD.
200 AD.
What was her name?
Clement.
That'll help.
I think it was possibly a man. I don't know. But anyway, Clement of Alexandria.
Oh, it sounded... Sorry, I got the impression it was a lady when you said the name, but maybe I was... Maybe I'm...
What, Clement?
Clement.
Clement. Is that a lady's name?
Do you know many Clements?
Saint Clement. I don't know if this might be St. Clement. The Bells of St. Clements. That's all part of that rhyme, isn't it?
What did he get rid of? Denounce, was it?
What did he denounce? He didn't get rid of it, he just denounced it.
It's probably not anything to do with bells then, is it? Because he loved his bells, St. Clement.
Well, no, I'm going to help you a little bit, because I
thank
think...
you.
It might involve bells. It might.
Okay, he denounced Christmas.
Christmas?
Yeah.
Well, there's a lot of bells at Christmas, isn't there?
That's what I was thinking.
The ding-dong merrily on high.
Exactly.
In heaven the bells are ringing.
It's clearly going to be wrong again, isn't it?
It's not Christmas. Christmas is not the answer. No. Do you want one more shot at this?
The only thing I'm pleased about how badly this is going for me is that it might add credence to the fact that I really did guess that Roman numeral thing before we even said it. That's going to look slightly more credible now that making such a hash of the rest of this quiz.
Yeah.
Go on, give us a clue.
Okay, well, I've sort of given you a clue.
It wasn't much of a clue, was it? It might involve bells.
It might involve bells. It might involve, I don't know, it might involve a drum.
He denounced one-man bands.
Well, I mean, I can't give you that. I can't give you that as the answer. But you're getting nearer. Like, if this was that game where you go, oh, you're getting warmer.
I mean, it might just be easier to put us out of our misery at this point.
He denounced the use of musical instruments to accompany human voice in Christian churches.
Why?
Well, look, he clearly felt that the musical instrument was of the devil. If you were to... Maybe if you struck a bell, the devil would rise.
They were mad back in 200 AD, weren't they, eh?
I mean, if we had that preacher back, he might be able to tell us, I read it in the Bible. I read it. It said the musical instruments were the voice of the devil, that you, if you were to clang your drum or pluck a string, that invites him into the world.
What state is this preacher from?
He travels. He's a travelling preacher.
Oh, he's all over the shop, is he? Right,
he goes from place to place. But I mean, he's from the south originally. But he's lost the accent. You know. But the main thing is that you got to get the message. You got to get the message that musical instruments are bad.
I'm back in Belfast. What's going on?
So there we are, we're halfway through the 200 quiz. One out of four so far, Ben. So the full hour season, you know, it's not a possibility, but it could all turn round in part two.
Well, fingers crossed. I'm not too optimistic, but we'll see.
Shall we have another couple of messages?
That'd be nice, yeah.
Okay, first message has been sent from a listener, an Australian now living in the UK, who has apparently found our podcast.
G'day, Trevor, Simon. I've been a big fan of yours since day one. Ever since you were on that Saturday morning TV show, you're up there with the greatest. Hound and Pace, 20 and Susan, those two cleaning ladies and the hairy bikers as well, and James Corden. Just to let you know, I won't be listening to any more of your shows now. I've reached 100,000. It's time to get up, mate. It's getting a bit fucking boring.
I mean, not us. He's listening to the wrong people. I mean, I love Trev and Simon, but...
I'm sure they're great.
You don't remember them, do you? You're too young to remember Trev and Simon.
Yeah.
They were on Going Live, Swing Your Pants. Do you remember that?
No.
Okay, next we've got Libby.
Oh, my mum?
Yeah.
Oh, hi, Ben. I don't know how many times I have to say this, but I am sick to the back teeth listening to the absolute drivel that you and your sidekick, Trevor, are spouting on that useless ruddy podcast every single week. There's so many important issues going on in this world that need to be addressed, and yet the bloody Chuckle Brothers are continuing to talk shit to whoever will listen. I just can't believe there's many who do. I've spoken to you about this before now, but it would appear that your tiny brain is incapable of retaining any amount of useful information for any length of time. I mean, what about last week when I put my back out? You suggested I take a hefty dose of ibuprofen and a warm bath. Did you actually forget that you had to take me to A&E on Christmas Day due to me having a severe allergic reaction to ibuprofen? I just despair, Ben. You simply don't retain important information. So maybe, you know, maybe a podcast full of crap is all you have to offer. I don't know. As for Trevor, not so clever. He might have been the best man at your wedding, but certainly not the best man for a podcast that would be of interest to normal thinking people. Anyway, I've said it all before, so I'm not expecting much to change. Have a good day. Speak soon.
Well, I mean, first of all, I mean, I'm not your sidekick. That's, you know, I think if anything, you're my sidekick. I think we've made that very abundantly clear. And
listen, there's no point turning on each other at this point, Trev. We're all we've got.
Yeah.
Who would have thought you have been compared to Laurel and Hardy and the Chuckle Brothers?
Well, I mean, I'll take that.
I mean, there were some other low points in the message, I'll be honest.
I mean, she wasn't wrong when she said that you don't retain information, because obviously the quiz is proving that.
Yeah, that's unfortunate. And hands up, I did make that mistake. I did forget that she's terribly allergic to ibuprofen.
Important, isn't it? If you know someone's allergic to something and then you suggest they take it, that almost seems like a calculated move.
I had temporarily forgot. I just thought it sounded like good advice to your general person to have a hot bath and some ibuprofen. Maybe next time, instead of the ibuprofen, she can have a hot bath with a toaster. See if she gets on with that.
Right, you ready for part two of the 200 quiz, Ben?
First part didn't go very well for me, but, you know, I'll try and be optimistic. So
I think you're going to do a bit better in part two. I think certainly there's a couple of questions that I think you will, even if you're not sure of the answers, I think you might be able to guess.
Thanks.
So we'll start off question number five.
The backhanded compliment that was. Simpleton like you might be able to cobble the right answer together.
I mean, this first question of part two, if you can't just guess this, then I think we just might as well give up and go home.
Let's try.
What feat of construction began in 200 BC?
What feat of construction began in 200 BC? Well, it obviously can't be anything to do with Christianity if it was 200 years BC, right?
Well, that's a good point.
So now I'm just going to have to go with a very ancient and impressive structure. And you think I should be able to just guess this?
I reckon you could guess this. I reckon this is guessable.
Okay, I'll go with the Taj Mahal.
The Taj Mahal.
I think was built by a man in memory of his missus or something, wasn't it?
That's right, yeah. But I think 200 BC would be very early for the Taj Mahal, wouldn't it?
I don't know. I don't know when things were made. So that's wrong.
Yeah, it's not the Taj Mahal. I'm going to look up when the Taj Mahal was made, by the way, just to see how near
how wrong
far
I was.
Well, no, I don't know when it was built, so I'm going to see how far or near you were, and then you can have one more guess. It was commissioned in 1631 AD. So, you know, you're only...
So I was about 1,800 years off.
About 1,800 years out, yeah. Which,
nice.
You know.
I mean, am I along the right lines thinking it might be a natural wonder?
Not a natural wonder. I mean, the Taj Mahal is a natural wonder.
No, that's... Yeah, that's true. So is it a wonder of the world?
I think it... Well, I don't know if it is a wonder of the world. It might be. I don't know what the wonders of the world were.
Is it Machu Picchu in Peru?
It's not Machu Picchu in Peru. No, but again, that was probably nearer in terms of time. I'll tell you the answer. It was the Great Wall of China.
Oh, it was kind of staring me in the face, wasn't it?
It was. I mean, you have just a great feat of construction. I would have thought you'd just gone Great Wall of China. That would have been the first port of call, surely.
Yeah, I kind of wish I had now, but... I can't live with this recording, and I know you won't edit that out to look kind, so that's great. Thanks.
Okay, right. Question number six. In 2010, now this one you might get. I think this is right up your alley. I think this is certainly up your street. In 2010, the 200th episode of South Park was broadcast. What was the episode's title?
Oh, that's ridiculous. I like
what
South
do you mean
Park,
it's ridiculous? South Park would be right up your alley. You like sort of cartoons.
The specific name of the episode. I mean,
name of the title. Yeah.
I mean, that's preposterous. I mean, you'd have to, you know, the people who would know that would have to go on Mastermind as South Park experts to know that.
Just remember what the quiz is about.
Is it just 200?
200. It's just called 200.
Thank God for that. What a...
But it was...
I was starting to overthink that.
It was an infamous episode because it was the episode where they got into trouble for their portrayal of the Prophet Muhammad. Leading to the creators getting death threats.
That sounds like South Park.
Can we try and avoid that in our 200th episode? If we can get out of this episode without a fatwa, I'll be very happy.
I'll be thrilled with that.
I may have already upset the underground IRA, but hopefully...
That's no way to talk about my mother.
Question number seven. Penultimate question here.
Thank you.
In 2014... Mike Newman became the first person to do what?
In 2017?
2014. I mean, you're not even listening to the... But what hope have we got?
What was his name?
Mike Newman. I mean, honestly. I mean, do you want me to... Right. In. Have you got that? In. Yeah. 24. Mike Newman became the first person to do what?
Free fall from... I was going to say 200,000 feet, but that would be ridiculous.
200,000 feet?
You'd be in space, I think.
What was that guy there? What was his name? Mr. Bumgardner.
Felix, was it?
Felix Bumgardner. Did he free fall from a balloon, but probably wasn't 200,000 feet.
All right, let's say... whoever this guy is in 2014, yeah. Mark Newman or whatever his name was... Mark to his friends. He completed 200 consecutive marathons.
Well, that would be quite a feat, wouldn't it? In 2014, Mike Newman became the first blind man to drive a car at a speed of over 200 miles an hour.
That seems excessively dangerous.
He was guided by a navigator over a radio link.
And, I'm assuming did it without crashing.
Yeah, I mean the dog was fucking terrified.
Bet Richard Hammond was fuming.
Right, final question. Are you ready?
Sorry, Richard Hammond, that's the second dig this episode.
In November 1823, 200 years ago, what sport was invented?
1823.
Yeah.
I feel like it was, if it was one of the big boys, I'd have probably heard this information, but I haven't.
Yeah, yeah.
And knowing what you've been doing to me all podcast, it's going to be something obscure. Refer back to giant anteaters. So, I'm going to say lacrosse.
No, not lacrosse. I'll let you have another stab in the dark.
Rugby, who knows?
Is rugby your final answer?
Yeah.
The answer is rugby.
Oh, wow.
William Webb Ellis invented the sport of rugby at rugby school in England in November 1823.
Wow. Oh, so I've got a second point on the board.
You also got the episode of South Park.
Oh, yes, I did.
Roman numerals, so that's 3 out of 8,
yeah.
Which, you know, isn't too far off 50%.
I think you knew that this wasn't a real quiz. This was just a chance to humiliate me on our big 200 bonanza spectaculaire.
And then before we move on, should we have another couple of messages that we've been sent?
I mean, they've all been lovely so far, so yeah, I'd love to hear.
Have they all been lovely so far?
Yeah, well, yeah, I mean, you know, we're lucky to have listeners who are kind enough to send us messages, whatever they are. So
okay, well, yeah. This is from an anonymous listener, but someone who's been apparently listening to us for a long time.
Wow, 200 episodes or more, accurately, wild rides of irreverence and fun. Well done, Trev and Ben. Great to be a listener. I really enjoy being a listener. And this is nice. My thanks to you. You know, the Trev and Ben Show is a podcast that doesn't pull any punches, delivering relentless and unapologetic dose of irreverence and fun. Hosted by two unabashed individuals, Trev and Ben.
It's lovely.
Mum, shh. What sets it apart is its raw, unfiltered approach to tackling various topics. But it's not for the faint-hearted. I love the Trev and Ben Show. Oh, thank goodness for ChatGPT.
That's a nice one.
I didn't have to think about.
All right, right. She's got AI to write it.
Finished
but it's
recording
nice.
That for them. I think it's off. Yeah, should we go out now? They better pay me for that, as they promised. Otherwise, I'll go on flipping social media and say what I really think. Pair of stupid twats. I think they're so funny. They're not. Only put it on to boost their single figure listener numbers, then go and do something else. Much prefer James O'Brien.
Well, I mean, it was all right to start with. You know, there was a lot of positives there. You know, lots of nice things.
A very moving sentiments at the beginning of the message. So, yeah. Moving on. So, once I mentioned to Mrs. Ben that it was going to be the 200th episode, she was so sweet, bless her. She insisted I must record your message. And
okay, you can, nice.
Yeah, I couldn't stop her. So she's left us this lovely, lovely message. Okay, right, love. Take this.
What is this?
Just take it.
What is this?
Just take it.
Okay.
And action.
What am I doing here?
Read.
I'm just reading. Okay.
Action.
Hi, Trev and Ben. It's Mrs. Ben here. You do know I have a name,
yes,
right?
No, but just come on.
Okay. Congratulations on your 200th episode.
Gosh.
Christ, 200 episodes.
Yes, would you please just carry on.
Who would have thought all that hard work and dedication would pay off with such an achievement? Okay, who wrote this?
Will you just keep going?
The only thing I wish is that more people would share it with their friends and subscribe to the podcast. A show of this quality really needs to be heard by the masses. This doesn't sound natural, love.
Will you please just read?
No, nobody speaks like this. Right, fine. Here's to the next 200. Keep up the good work. I really am your biggest fan. You know I don't listen.
Will you just read the fucking...
I mean, I'm tempted to call the police.
In hindsight, I think I probably could have done a better job trimming the editing together there. But, you know, I think the sentiment was there. Biggest fan, you heard it from our own...
She loves
lips.
It.
Yeah. Big fan.
Yeah, Ben, I've been going through our archives.
Really?
Yeah, now, what I thought was, you know, most podcasts, you know, when they get to a momentous number, they might have, like, a best of. But I must admit, I don't really see the point of doing that because all the podcasts are available.
Yes, and it is one of my bugbears with another podcast that I listen to, which I won't shame by throwing it under the bus. And I may have already done it in the past. I can't remember. But this other podcast I listen to frequently will re-upload episodes as a sort of best of or fan favourite.
Yeah.
And you just think, really? Well, we could just go back and listen to it rather than do that.
Yeah.
So, yeah, unheard bits is great.
So I thought what I'd do is I'd go through the archive of bits we did on the radio. So this will probably be stuff that a lot of people didn't hear.
Do we own the rights to this stuff? Or
it's a weird one because I think contractually we signed it all away when we... but fuck them. We they sacked us, so we're going to play... I don't think they'll come after us now.
I don't think they were going to come after us as far as that's our brilliant material that we own. I think they might come after us because they don't want to remind people that they were ever associated with us.
Yeah. Well, that's it. I mean, we don't mention the radio station at all in any of this. So, you know, it's fine. So maybe it's all forgotten. So, yeah. I mean, we're also treading a very thin line here when it comes to some copyright infringements in terms of some music. I think, fuck it, we'll go for it and see what happens, shall we? And I've just got a few bits that I dug out, just things that I thought I'd sort of forgotten about. And as I was going through, I thought, oh, yeah, that was quite good. We had fun doing that. And I think the first thing I wanted to play was you did a feature on our Saturday show where you would pick a news story from one of the newspapers in the week. And it was one of those bullshit news stories. And you get loads of them every day, every page on some of those tabloids. There's a bullshit story.
Yes, there is often things which someone has clearly been paid to fill up a few column inches with. And they've thought, I don't care what it is, but it needs to be filled.
And it was called Not News with Ben. And this, I listened back to quite a few of them. This was one of my favourites.
This week's Not News from Ben comes courtesy of The Sun, who have recently reported on an apparently remarkable phenomenon involving actor Patrick Duffy. According to the paper, Duffy, best known for playing Bobby Ewing in the hit show Dallas back in 1978, now looks quite different from how he first did when he appeared in the soap some 40 years ago. An occurrence that would surprise no one, yet seemingly baffling to The Sun, who cite the incredible change that his once floppy black mane has now become a slick silver ponytail. Who'd have thought an adult male's physical appearance may alter over a period of just 4 short decades? One can only hope that The Sun has passed the astonishing findings on to medical experts to aid the furtherment of medical science. Your headline, People Age.
Now, the reason I like that is because that is something newspapers do all the time, right? I don't look at newspaper websites as much as we did when we were doing the radio stuff, but so often you come across something, you won't recognise this person 40 years after they were last in a film. And they do it particularly with like child stars that were in some film in about 1980 who did fuck all else, and then they go, you'll never believe how unrecognisable they are. Just nonsense.
I mean, I know we're a fine one to talk, but it is amazing to think people were paid to put out that sort of content, isn't it?
I know. It's just extraordinary. It's just, I notice it all the time. I love those ones you also get where stars who were big, you know, who are now very old. You know, you won't believe how old they look. Well, yeah, because they're now like 100. There was one the other day. What's her name? Glynis Johns, right? She was in Mary Poppins and she turned 100 the other day. And I saw a headline about her. Mary Poppins star now unrecognisable. Mary Poppins was made nearly 60 fucking years ago. Of course she's unrecognisable now. She's 100, for Christ's sake. I mean ridiculous.
Shout out to her. I mean, I'm not trying to make it a competition, but we've reached 200 today, so
yeah,
you know,
yeah,
but no, she's saying we're better, but
I mean she's managed 100 years. We've managed 4 years of bullshit. I don't think it's comparable. She's got a message from the king. Nothing from the king so far for this bullshit. No. I mean great.
It's probably in the post, isn't it?
I'd like to say that I enjoy the Trevin Bin podcast.
That's my Prince Charles. Or King Charles. I can't get used to saying King Charles. It's always
it
Prince
still doesn't
Charles.
Sound right, does it?
No. I mean, it'd be better if she was still with us and she'd send a message how much she enjoyed the podcast. Can you still do an impression of her?
I think does that count as treason, or are we okay?
I think it's right, because it's affectionate, isn't it?
There's impression. Treason, there's copyright regulations. We're all over the place.
Right, the next thing I dug out was a spoof film trailer we made, because there was a story about The actor who played Flash Gordon and the actor who played the Hulk.
Yes, I remember this. They had a bit of a spat, didn't they?
At Comic Con, I think.
Yes.
And what was it over? Was it over? Well, I don't know what they were having a spat. Was it about for autographs or price of autographs or something?
I think it was something along the lines of autographs and also two quite big egos coming together and having a bit of a diva tantrum.
Two men, one problem, no solution. The smelliest convention center in the world. Giants of the superhero world square off this summer. Flash Gordon versus the Hulk. The stakes were high.
30 bleeding quid for an autograph.
And they're playing for keeps.
Where's the queue for Shatner?
Get ready for a Comic-Con KO. Will it be over in a flash or end with a Hulk smash? Flash Gordon versus the Hulk, coming soon.
I'd watch that film. I'd watch
so
that film every day of the week.
I do think when this podcasting lark all goes belly up, you have a very promising future as one of those sort of trailer guys. That's great.
I can do that. Yeah, I can do the big serious one, and then I can do the sort of light-hearted one. You know, he was a cop. She was a teacher. Together, they were Mr. and Mrs.
Yeah, I think you could do that.
Right, the next thing I want to play was a little sketch we made. There was a footballer called Mambo.
Oh, and, I remember this.
I don't know what football team he played for, but basically there was a thing where he should be given the number 5 shirt for, you know, because of the Mamba number 5 song. And
obviously,
he wasn't going to get the number 5 shirt. I think ultimately there was a lot of pressure because social media got involved and he did get the number 5 shirt. But when we were on the radio, we thought, wouldn't it be funny to do a little sketch? And this includes our old mate from the radio, Jack, who takes part in this. When we basically thought it'd be funny that if he wasn't given the number 5 shirt, the song Mamba number 5 would just follow him and play constantly wherever he went. And so we had a bit of a sketch in the dressing room before a match.
Right, lads. Come on, it's a big game today, right? You've got to have your big game heads on. They are a very, very good side. Keep the line at the back. No messing about, right? No handbags. And this is a game of two halves. So if the first... Look, for goodness sake, what is that noise? I'm trying to give a team talk here.
That's Mambo, boss. Because you won't give him the number 5 shirt. That music just follows him around wherever he goes.
Mambo, you cannot be in it if you cannot control that music. Can you turn it down?
But boss, it's not my fault. I just, ever since you've not given me that number 5 shirt, the music just keeps playing. I can't help it.
Look, at the end of the day, all the squad numbers are sorted. You can't just chop and change. You cannot have number 5.
Oh, boss, but this music, well, I can't stop it. I can't stop
it. Well, if you can't control it, you're going to have to get out of the dressing room. I can't be giving a team talk and have a big game like this if you're fannying about with music. Get out.
Oh, boss, it's not fair. I'd like
get out! Right, now, where was I? You need to have your heads on today, because last week, I was sick as a parrot the way you played, and
boss,
I need to be asking, what is it now?
This is doing my nutting. Look, I'm number 5. Just give him my shirt, please.
All
just
right.
Make the music stop.
All right, Mambo, get in here.
Yes, boss?
You can have the number 5 shirt, all right?
You're joking. This is brilliant. Thank you very much, boss. It's stopped already.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is Mambo number 5.
I reckon I could be a football manager as well. I reckon when all this goes tits up, football manager, movie voice. I mean, my future careers are being sorted here. I don't know about you, but I felt I was a stirring giver of speeches in the dressing room.
I was stirred, yeah. I was getting quite emotional, yeah.
Right, two more little bits from our archive to come. This is one of my favourite things we did, because there was a video that went viral a few years ago of a road rage incident.
Oh, yes, this is possibly one of my highlights as well, this.
So it was a guy who lost the plot. I don't know if he was on a bike. I can't really remember the specifics of the incident, but he basically lost his shit and somehow it was being filmed and it ended up on social media. But the beautiful bit of information was the man was a producer for David Attenborough's nature programmes.
Yes, and he had the mother of all temper tantrums. I think one of us had the idea to maybe stitch it together as if the big man himself, Attenborough, was sort of calling the action.
Another huge male thinks he is the king here. the intimidation begins.
You big slob!
If the intruder doesn't back down, there will be trouble.
Put your hands on the car! Get ready to die!
When neither backs down, there can only be one outcome.
You're under a citizen's arrest! Put your hands on the car!
Fights can go on for hours.
You're under a citizen's arrest! You're under a citizen's arrest!
So are you, you plonker!
And I'll tell you what, you are too!
They're evenly matched. It's neck and neck.
You're not fit to drive!
You should have minded your own business!
You know why I'm involved?
Why are you involved?
Because I tried to stop a death on the road!
The incumbent has re-established his right to mate with the females, and he wastes no time.
Now, there's a couple of elements of that that I particularly love, which won't be immediately obvious, is when he's citizens arresting everybody. You're under a citizen's arrest. You're under a citizen's arrest. And you know what? You are too. That third and final person was a child in the back seat of the car.
That's right. Yes, it was, wasn't it?
Done absolutely nothing. And I think my favourite line from the whole thing is, put your hands on the car and get ready to die. What was he doing?
Oh,
I loved it.
Fun thing we're going to play is from the April Fool's gag, which we did, where we spent the whole radio show pretending that you had been trapped in the lift.
Yes, I think there was probably periods of our time there where people genuinely wished I was stuck, trapped in a lift. But yeah, this was our April Fool's joke. I think it came together quite nice.
Ben is actually stuck in a lift in the building here and has been since about 6:30 this morning. Ben, are you still there?
Well, yes, of course I'm still here. Where else am I going
to
be?
Well, I just wonder whether you might have been able to find a way out yet. The engineers have said they might be able to be here by about 11 o'clock. Can you hold on that
11?
Long? About 11. Well, they're busy people. So I've spoken to a lift engineer. The one thing he has said is most lifts, if you look up the lift now, is there a little panel on the ceiling of the lift?
Yes. Oh, yes, I can see what you mean, yeah.
Can you reach that panel, push it up? If you push it upwards, it should then flip over. If you can then grab onto the side and pull yourself up, you might be able to get up there. And I've got some instructions on how you can try and release the lift.
Wait a second.
Is it opening?
Just, yeah.
Okay, now, would you think you'll be able to pull yourself up and get up there?
I'll have to give it a bit of a jump. It's a bit, I mean, I know I'm tall, but it's a bit of a jump for me, this. Right, hang on a sec.
Okay.
Hang on, one more.
Can you do it? Come on, Ben, come on, you can do this. Yeah, I can hear you, Ben. Now, Ron, who's a lift engineer, has emailed me a diagram of the lift mechanisms, okay? Now, can you see there's sort of like a cog, a big cog that has gears on it? Can you see that?
There's quite a few cogs.
Well, it's a big one. It's the big main cog.
Well, I assume you mean this one. There's a couple of large ones in it. I'm assuming you mean this one.
Now, if that is the one, there should be, just to the left of where that cog is, a little lever.
Yeah.
Now, where the cogs meet, so you've got the big cog, and then there should be another little cog that connects that, okay? Can you see that?
Yes, I can, yeah.
Now, are those two cogs connecting? Or is there a gap between them?
There's a slight gap.
This is the problem, you see. We've got the gears have slipped, the cogs have slipped. So apparently if you move that lever, it should then connect the cogs back together and release the lift. You should be able to climb back in, press the button, get to where we are and get in the studio. So I would try and push that lever now and see if we can do this. You ready?
It's got two arrows. It goes both ways. Which way do I do it?
Up. You push it up because that pushes them together.
Up. It's left or right. There is no up.
Well, okay, hang on, let me just look at the diagrams. Which way around do I hold these? I wonder if these are landscape or portrait. I think left.
What, my left or stage left?
Well, hang on, I don't know where you're looking at.
I can't really afford to get this wrong.
I would say your left. I mean, what's the worst that can happen? Go, your left.
I don't know.
Pull the lever.
Right, here we go.
Go on, give it a good old pull.
There we go.
Ben? Ben? Ben?
Ben?
Do we have another message from a listener, Ben?
Yeah, okay.
I mean, what's nice about the podcast is over the 200 episodes, we've extended our reach across the pond, Ben, to the States.
Yeah, we've gone transatlantic.
And this is a message from a listener in the States.
Well, hello there, Trevi and Benbo. Cactus Jack here from the great nation of Texas. I figured I'd give you a quick call. I reckon you fellas would say I rang ya or some such. You limey's got the cutest slang, I tell you. Them there colloquialisms got me well chuffed in it. But let me get back to you wankers. So, as one of your seven listeners and the only international one, I wanted to congratulate you on making it to 200 episodes. By God, there's quite the accomplishment for a couple of no-talent knobheads from the ass crack of London. You fellas would say the bum of old Blighty. I never thought you'd make it past 10 or 15 episodes, considering you got the computational power between the two of you that's about commensurate with a chapped-ass dirt weasel. But, well, a fella should know when he's wrong, and I wanted to congratulate you. Be the bigger man, as it were. So, good on you, Gov, and Bob's your some sort of relative and all that horseshit. Also, I gotta thank you. I now know how to avoid Croydon at all costs, and that probably saved me some heartache, I reckon. Lord knows if it birthed you two. Whew, I mean, damn. Good luck with the mouth breathing. Oh, and dang near forgot. You two need to have that ungodly talented son of a gun Jace Patrick back on. Best damn show you two ever did thanks to him. All right then. Off you go. I got better shit to do than to fuck with you two.
I mean, getting some positives there.
Yeah, I think maybe he is an international listener, so maybe he doesn't quite understand the English slang he's trying to use, possibly. But other than that, I thought good-ish.
Yeah, I mean, he might think wankers is a term of endearment.
I suppose it can be. You know, you're like, I love you, you big wanker. That, you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. You great big tosspot.
You big fucking wanker, yeah.
Right, Ben, it's time for the big finale of our murder mystery. Now, where are we up to?
We are up to the final part, part six, very exciting. And we have left our cast, as far as I remember, they're all in the library, is it still?
Yeah, I think we're in the library, yeah.
The lights had gone out, but have since come back on, so yes. That's good. And there was a discovery of a mysterious mural on the wall, which, represented each of the characters in the room in some way. Then in some shock reveal, the characters sort of spot a porcelain figurine that arrives from somewhere, which also looks like one of them.
Yes.
And I believe there was a mysterious message written on the mirror.
There was a message that said, "Tonight, one of you will join the shadows forever." That was how last week's episode ended. So we've got this mural on the wall, which has these figures, each resembling the cast, and they're engaged in a sinister ritual, remember?
Oh, yes. And not to sort of split hairs too prematurely, but if the message is promising that one of them will die, the death count's already at two.
Yes, it's at two, and we still don't know who the first victim was. We may never know who the first victim was.
Oh, that's something we should stress. It's all AI generated. We haven't written this. So if it doesn't satisfy, blame ChatGPT, not us.
So here we go. The moment we've all been waiting for. Shadows of Deceit. A murder mystery at Wimsley Manor. Part 6.
The Final Reckoning. The clock strikes midnight, and with tension in Wimsley Manor reaching its peak, the guests, Trev, Detective Inspector Ben Harmer, Jean-Pierre Leclerc, Reverend Thorne, Vix McAllister, Headmistress Prudence Worthington, and Arnold Whitman stand in a circle, their eyes locked on the life-sized porcelain doll and the ominous message written in red lipstick. We can't let fear control us any longer. It's time to reveal the truth.
This manor, this diary, our shared past, it all leads to one person among us.
Bit of an issue here, mate.
Yeah.
I know the cue that the audience can't hear was that you have to breathe that a bit, take a deep breath and be a bit shocked.
I took a deep breath. Didn't you hear
it? I know.
Massive breath.
As a result, though,
I was talking too much breath.
I think people would be confused as to whether that was Trev or Reverend Thorne, because it was quite trembly.
No, you know if it was Reverend Thorne. You know Reverend Thorne has got certain characteristics in his speech that you would know it was Reverend Thorne.
I'm just suggesting some people may have thought that was somebody else, but that was Trev, everyone. Who was getting all upset there. Right. Shall we move on?
Shall we move on?
Please, yeah, sorry, I just thought I'd clarify.
May I continue?
I take this very seriously, so please.
Okay. Mon ami, who is it? Who can we trust?
Wait for it.
Yes, do tell us, Trev. The suspense is maddening.
Trev points to the figure in the mural, the one that resembles a member of the group.
It's Arnold Whitman!
A shocked silence falls over the group as they turn their gaze toward Arnold Whitman, the seemingly unassuming accountant.
I see you've figured it out, but do you know why, Trev?
You've been manipulating us, leading us into a trap.
The murders were meant to cover your tracks, weren't they? Arnold Whitman nods, a sinister smile curling on his lips.
That's right. I orchestrated this gathering to tie up loose ends, to arrange the secrets that could destroy me.
But... Sorry.
Who are you doing now?
Well, you'll find out, won't you? I mean, I like to think my voices are just as iconic as yours.
But why, Arnold? What could have driven you to such lengths?
Arnold's demeanour changes, revealing a hint of vulnerability.
It all started as a foolish mistake. A betrayal. I've lost his voice.
It's got very Kermit the Frog.
Well, it's because he's changed. He's no longer this robotic man.
Right. It all started with a foolish mistake. A betrayal that haunted me. I needed to protect my reputation and my wealth at any cost.
Trev steps closer, his voice filled with resolve.
Your crimes end here, Arnold. You won't escape justice.
Ben Harmer steps forward, ready to apprehend Arnold Whitman. Arnold Whitman, you're under arrest for the murders of Dr. Edmund Winters, Miss Lily Fitzgerald, and
when did Lily Fitzgerald get murdered?
Did I miss something?
We've had two murders. We don't know the first one. Lillian Fitzgerald didn't arrive till about episode 3 or 4.
I thought she was alive and well.
Right. She's clearly,
this is confusing.
Okay, Lillian Fitzgerald's dead. We didn't know that, but she's dead.
Arnold Whitman, you're under arrest for the murders of Dr. Edmund Winters, Miss Lily Fitzgerald, and the attempted murder of everyone in this room. As Ben handcuffs Arnold, the atmosphere in Wimsley Manor shifts from fear to relief. The killer has been unmasked, and justice will be served.
Justice prevails as it should!
With the case solved, the group bands together to share their findings and piece together the entire sordid tale of secrets, betrayal, and murder that has haunted Wimsley Manor.
It is as if the shadows have lifted from this place. My paintings can now capture its true beauty.
Hey! We had JPLC reference his paintings again. Love it.
And I can go back to my sermons, free from the temptations of intrigue.
Vix McAllister, looking at the group with newfound respect, speaks.
We face darkness and survive together. That's a bond none of us will ever forget.
Well, I mean, can I just say, I think very early on, I put Arnold Whitman up as almost a prime suspect.
I think you did. It was on the assumption it's always the quiet ones you want to watch.
Always the quiet, boring ones. But I am very confused by a few things, because Lily Fitzgerald, wasn't she the sidekick that arrived in episode 4, was it?
Yes, she was. So I don't really understand
when
at what point she
died. When did she get knocked off?
I don't know.
And it was the first... There should be three murders if she's dead. So I'm very... Unless there's been some weird rip in the time continuum, I don't know what's happened. But anyway, that's AI scripting for you. I don't think screenwriters have got too much to worry about at this
not
stage.
Yet. I also don't think it's... you know, I'm not going to be a defender of Arnold Whitman, now a multiple murderer, but surely it seems a bit of a reach to arrest him for the attempted murder of everyone else, which he's not guilty of from what we've read.
Well, yes, I mean, we've not seen any, unless he was going to knock us all off one by one, and we've just stopped him from doing that, and maybe Detective Inspector Harmer has stopped him in his tracks, but knows that that was the plan.
Well, there is also the glaring issue, and this is an exciting little development, of we were promised originally, if you remember all the way back to chapter one, that the characters were all in some way linked.
Yes, yes.
Which has not...
There was promises along the way that we may know about. There was books and there was codes and diaries and all kinds of things that would supposedly reveal the reason we're all there and why we all know each other. But that hasn't been revealed.
That's completely failed in its brief. So Mrs. Benn was more than kind enough to read these scripts for me. And I did say to her, but just out of interest, is there any chance it resolved that issue of how they all know each other? And she said, no, not a chance.
Right.
So I then asked ChatGPT, and again, I haven't read this. I don't know how well this will come together. But I have asked it to generate a bonus chapter.
A bonus chapter?
To explain how everyone knows each other. Whether it will is a different kettle of fish. Right. So as a secret surprise for our 200th bonanza, I now present to you the bonus chapter of A Murder Mystery at Wimsley Manor. Unraveling the financial scandal.
Oh, financial scandal.
The group gathers in the library of Wimsley Manor.
Why are you doing the woman again?
Did I slip into Vix McAllister?
You did, yes, well, that's an obvious
point. Watch it. The group gathers in the library of Wimsley Manor, their curiosity piqued by Arnold Whitman's revelation about the dark secret that binds them all.
We've heard there's a financial scandal at the heart of this mystery. Tell us more, Arnold.
We need the full story if we're going to understand why we were brought here. Arnold Whitman takes a deep breath, ready to confess the complex web of deceit that has entangled them.
Many years ago.
It really is Kermit the Frog.
Many years ago.
I've lost it now. I can't do it.
Right, compose yourself, Trev. You're a professional, for God's sake.
Many years ago, we were all connected by a lucrative but illicit business deal. It was an investment scheme that promised unimaginable wealth. But it was... I've turned into Henry's cat. But it was built... but it was built on deception and fraud.
Vix McAllister, Head Mistress Worthington, and the others... That's lazy. Listen intently. Their pasts resurfacing in their minds. How did we get involved in such a scheme?
We were all ambitious individuals seeking financial gain and power. Some of us were investors, others brokers, and some had key connections.
As Arnold Whitman continues, the scandalous details of their involvement come to light.
The deal involved siphoning funds from unsuspecting investors into offshore accounts. We manipulated stock prices, created fictitious companies, and even forged documents.
Can I just say this chapter is immensely dull,
isn't it?
I mean, honestly, this is so dull. Let's get through this, because I don't think this is any interest to anyone.
I'm beginning to regret this bonus chapter, but, you know, okay.
It was a web of lies and deceit that could have ruined us all if unravelled.
Dr. Winters must have discovered evidence of our involvement and used it to bring us here.
He intended to expose our pasts, and Arnold used this gathering as a way to silence him. Vix McAllister, now fully aware of the depth of their shared secret, confronts Arnold.
Arnold, our actions were reprehensible, but that doesn't justify murder.
I never meant for it to come to this. I just wanted to protect what we had left.
The group grapples with the guilt of their past actions and the consequences they faced in the present.
Our greed led us down a dark path, but perhaps facing our past is the first step towards redemption.
Sometimes.
It's the last time we'll ever hear it.
It takes a crisis like this to make us confront our sins.
With the financial scandal laid bare, the group begins to process their shared guilt and the consequences it has wrought. The shadows of their past have been fully exposed, and they leave Wimsley Manor with the weight of their actions heavy on their hearts. With the full story of their shared past revealed, the group departs Wimsley Manor, ready to make amends and seek redemption for their past misdeeds. Okay, well, so I'm none the wiser, really.
Well, we were all involved in some financial bollocks. I mean, that was such a disappointing, anticlimactic way to finish it, wasn't it, really?
I mean, it really was such a lot of jargon and boring. I mean, we can't complain when we ask for Arnold Whitman to be deliberately boring.
Yes.
And then it turns out his sort of serial killer personality is extremely boring. we got what we asked for, I suppose. And also, this final line here, the group departs Wimsley Manor ready to make amends. Was he not arrested?
Well, I mean, clearly he's been arrested, but the rest of us have decided it's time to go. Yeah, I mean, you know, we know that he's been arrested, so he's obviously been carted off. We don't know what's going to happen now. Presumably the next thing will be the trial. That's what we'll have to get to next. I'd like that to be our next drama, the trial of Arnold Whitman.
Can you imagine how boring the litigation of Arnold Whitman's defence would be to listen to?
Yeah, but I mean, I'd get a chance to play a judge. you could be a barrister. I mean, all the characters would come back as witnesses. Babs, one of my painted Babs, that could be the court artist.
Oh, God, of course, because there is always the sketch artist there, isn't
yes,
there? Who does the little.
Yes.
That's perfect. Oh, it writes itself, because I won't be writing it.
Well, there we are. That's it for episode 200, the Super Jumbo Bumper Extravaganza Bonanza edition of the Trev and Ben podcast.
It's been a bit self-indulgent, hasn't it? But I think we've had fun.
It's been incredibly self-indulgent, and I doubt anyone's got this far. I'd imagine.
Well done if you have.
As always, we finish with a couple of recommendations, a couple of things I've been watching this week. Ben, on Netflix, a drama called The Serpent. I'm only three episodes in, so I've got a way to go. It's a true story set in the 1970s of a killer who preyed on travellers exploring the sort of hippie trail of Thailand and South Asia. And so it's all based on a true story. It's quite unsettling. I must say I watched three episodes of it, and I think it's really good, but it also made me feel like I can watch a lot of true crime dramas and that sort of thing, but I really didn't like this one. I think the guy who plays the killer is almost too creepy.
Oh, good. This sounds right up my alley.
Yeah, I think you'd like it. I think you'd really like it. So it's called The Serpent, and that's on Netflix. The other thing I'm going to recommend is on the BBC, on the iPlayer, started this week on BBC One, is David Attenborough with his Planet Earth 3. his latest TV show.
Is his producer involved in any way?
I don't know. Quite possibly. Quite possibly
the
producer's
so.
Involved. But I watched the first one this week. It's had brilliant reviews, but I read one review that said, you know, it's basically, it's brilliant, but it is sad because it does show. I mean, there's one terrible bit in the first episode where, because of the change in the weather and climate change, there's a place where all the flamingos go, or a lot of flamingos go, to build their nests. And some years, not one chick survives.
Well, that's cheered me up. Cheers for that, mate. What a lovely note to finish on.
Happy 200th.
Yay.
But it's brilliant. Of course it's brilliant. It's David Attenborough's voice. It's great footage. It's just brilliant. Animals that you've never seen before. There's some weird thing called an angel... an angel something. It lives in the sea. It's extraordinary, but it does look like an angel. There's also a butterfly snail.
A butterfly snail? And yeah, how many...
In the sea. In the sea.
Oh, right. And how many of these things does Belfast Zoo have?
200.
Okay. Excellent.
And John has sent us a recommendation. I haven't got around to watching these yet, although I have seen them on there and thought, well, they look good. Because on Netflix, there's a group of sort of Roald Dahl stories, all done very short films. I think they're only 10-15 minutes each. I've noticed that Richard Ayoade is in some of them, and he's recommended one called The Wonderful Story of Henry Sugar on Netflix. It's really entertaining, slightly bonkers short film. I'm going to be checking those out because I think they look great.
Absolutely. Thank you very much for that recommendation. And speaking of John, I haven't heard this yet, but he very kindly sent us a little testimonial.
Ooh, did he? So okay.
I think we should give that a listen.
Hey, Trev and Ben, it's John. Congratulations on the 200th episode, guys. Brilliant podcasts. Tune in
Cheers,
every week.
John. Cheers, John.
Wouldn't miss it. Absolutely superb. So entertaining. He's anyway, stunned. Guys, keep up the good work. Catch you soon. Bye.
That's more like it. Yeah. It's more like it.
Oh, that fucking Trev and Ben of that fucking podcast. He used to be on the radio. He'd give us loads of free stuff. Now they're paying me to do a fucking congratulations on your noddy podcast fucking 200th episode bullshit. Yeah. Wankers. Oh, fuck.
Well, I mean, yeah, no, I mean, it was great up to... Yeah, it was good to a point.
Yeah.
Cheers, John.
Cheers, John.
Well, there we are. That's it. Thank you very much for listening and downloading. Don't forget, you can get in touch with us anytime. We're at Trev and Ben on X, or send us a message. Why not? You've sort of heard the sort of thing we get sent on a regular basis. So so feel free, send us a message. We would love to hear from you. Tell us what you think. I'm going to finish with one more message that I've been sent. This is from an anonymous listener. Didn't want their name mentioned, but they have sent us a nice message.
Trevor Veronica Smith. This communication is to confirm receipt of 50% of your payment. The remaining 50% will be due upon job completion. Contract details have been verified. Subject, Mr. Ben Harmer, currently residing in East Grinstead, can be located on the supplied postal route. You have selected our deluxe gratuitous termination package. In addition to mutilation and dismemberment, you have opted for the following statement to be left on or around the remains. I told you we should have done a podcast about football and sandwiches. Congratulations on 200 episodes. You won't live to see 201. As per your request, you will receive photographic evidence and one of Mr. Harmon's ears upon job completion. This contract has now been accepted and cannot be rescinded unless done so before 1200 hours on the 23rd of October, 2023. Thank you for your patronage. Terms and conditions apply. Refund requests will result in your murder.
I'm not sure I should have played that. There we are. That's it for this week. We'll catch you again next week, God willing. We'll catch you again next week. Till then, stay safe, stay well.
Just
take it easy.
Bye.
Goodbye, Ben. Goodbye.